Blog Talk Radio.
Got it. Finally, I refuse to let J. Cole start my show with the N-word. How y'all doing, people? This is the Eric Terrell Show. We're here. We're back. We're doing this. How do lazy black people stay in shape? Okay, how do lazy black people stay in shape? I'm trying not to be so hard with my titles. My titles are supposed to be a tease. You're supposed to want to listen based on the title. For the people who don't listen week by week, you know, you see the title online and you think, oh, that might be interesting, and you click it. But I've noticed over the past few weeks, my titles have just been like bashing black people. Like all of them have been just like blaming black people and just like bashing my people. So I'm sorry if the titles are a little aggressive, but that's what we're doing today. How lazy black people stay in shape. Okay. We don't do the five things anymore. We don't do that. That's exclusively on my morning show. However, I do think I'm going to do it for 1 week only next week, because I think next week we're going to do a phone blast. But the show's about the talk, and it's about the comedy, and it's about the topics, okay? The best topics you'll find anywhere are right here on the Eric Terrell Show. I said it, okay? Now, next week I will also reveal the season finale survey. That's right, Asia, we are closing in on the end of the season. This is when it gets really exciting. Season finale survey, and we have a series that we're going to do next month, a church series. I don't know what I'm going to call it, but it's going to be a church series. it's going to be really, really interesting. It's going to be about religion. It's going to be about Baptist people. It's going to be fun. And next week, our phone blast is going to be about transracial adoption. All right. Here we go. What's really relevant? By the way, two of my favorite people are here, my co-host Asia Downing and Clayton Wells. Thank you all for joining us. What's really relevant? Asia, Clayton, tonight we have the third GOP primary presidential debate.
I'm glad you reminded me.
That's right. it should be good. We've got guy, Ben Carson. We've got Carly Fiorina. You know the people. You know the people we've got. Now, this is the GOP debate. Donald Trump, obviously. So, all I want to say, now it starts at 6 p.m., so you probably missed about 15 minutes of it, but DVR it so you can listen to us live if you're listening now. But surprisingly, I hear a lot of people, Asia, saying that I'm a Democrat. You know, I'm just going to wait. But we have to participate in electing a Republican. Now, it feels strange to vote for a conservative, but this is something that we have to do. You have to think about who you want to be president if Hillary loses. Because it is a possibility that Hillary could lose. Now, we don't like to think that she could lose, but I think it's pretty obvious that she will be representing the Democrats in the general election. But I don't think anybody knows for certain who's going to represent the Republicans. So we have to pick somebody that we're going to be most okay with, given Hillary loses.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, that's important, because you don't want to be like
have the worst person, like, oh, I hate this person. You didn't go vote. Now they run the country for 4 years. We don't
exactly.
Want that.
Exactly. You're talking about you hate Donald Trump. Well, you didn't vote against Donald Trump, so don't.
Right.
You can't talk. You can't say anything. Now, even if you watch 5 minutes of the debate, you know, just participate a little bit. Do something. Participate a little bit. Now, my friend Gabe Olaya is going to join us. He's a bodybuilder, an intense weightlifter. He's going to give us his tips. That's right, my man Gabe. We love our boy, Gabe. This is probably the most professional atmosphere, believe it or not, that I think Clayton and I have ever been talking to Gabe.
The most.
Oh my God.
Without a doubt.
That speaks volumes.
Without a doubt. It speaks volumes, right? Because this isn't so professional. Yeah, that's. But anyway, here we go, Asia. Here we go, Clayton. Here we go, listening audience. You guys can call in, leave your comments. We've got Twitter at the Eric Terrell Show. Let us know how you feel about it. This is going to be interesting, okay? So, Step and Fetch It. I don't know if you remember Step and Fetch It. Obviously, we don't remember Step and Fetch It. Like, we don't remember Step and Fetch It.
I can
but
barely say it.
we know that a guy existed named Step and Fetch It. But his real name, of course, is Lincoln Theodore Monroe Andrew Perry. Five names. That's his name. Lincoln Theodore Monroe Andrew Perry. And we know him by his comedy character or his Hollywood persona, Step and Fetch It. Now, Step and Fetch It is the first black actor to become a millionaire. He's also the first black actor to be featured in a movie credit. Okay, so the credits that roll after the movie, those were all white people on those credits before Step and Fetch It.
Oh, yeah.
Now, they probably put him up there as Step and Fetch It, but he has a name. Now, his character, his persona, he had a huge fan base all over the country. White people loved him, just like black people loved him. And his character was, quote unquote, the laziest man in the world. I don't know if you knew that, Clayton, but
yeah, I remember.
He was the laziest man in the world. That was his thing. Now, it was really controversial at one point because it's like, well, if a black person's going to be in the public eye, it's a shame that he has to be the quote-unquote laziest person in the world. But he made it funny. Obviously, he made it catchy. He did his thing. He became a millionaire. So this lazy thing for black people has gone so far back. And the stereotypes, like I pointed out last week, are odd because black people are supposedly the most lazy people. We're also the most unhealthy people, you know, the fried chicken, the lack of eating vegetables, the lack of vegetarianism. But then we also have good stereotypes. We're also the most athletic. And people also say that we have the best bodies. Our females have the best bodies. Well, if we have the best bodies and we're the most athletic, how are we the laziest and the most unhealthy? Doesn't make so much sense. But the truth is we're both. This is what we've got to realize. We're both. We're 85% of the NBA and the NFL, and we're also the most obese, most diabetic, most disease-stricken group that exists in America. We're the biggest consumers of fast food, okay, to the point where places like Popeyes and McDonald's gave up on white people. They just target us specifically. They just target us. They say, listen, we got them. We just going to milk this market dry. So, but anyway, I'm going to let other people talk. I'm done. My thing is, what I have to say about all of this is that my way to fix it, I suppose, and Gabe is going to hop on there in a few moments, and he's gonna give us some tips. But I think it's all about how much you do. It's all about how much you do. All right. Now, I think how lazy or unhealthy you are has to match up with how much you do in order for you to not fall into the negative stereotypes and misrepresent black people or contribute to this malignant stigma that we have. And when I say how much you do, I not only mean how much you exercise and how physically active you are, but I also mean how busy you are. Because I know my metabolism was really, really hardworking when I was young, because I did a bunch of activities and I played sports, and then I stopped all that. I went to college. I didn't do any activity. I didn't run around. I didn't play any sports. But I never sat down. I was so busy. After I left high school, I was always busy, and especially after college, I still never sit down. I'm always moving. At work, I'm moving. After work, I'm moving. If there's not a book that I'm reading, I'm always going. There's always stuff to do. There's always things to work on. So it's about how much you do, because for some reason, I'm still not big. I eat like an animal, but I'm still not big. And that's I think, because I do so much. So if I didn't do as much, I would think there would be a more drastic need for me to work out. So what do you guys think?
Well, I agree with you with the metabolism thing. I personally have a very good metabolism, but that doesn't also necessarily mean that I'm in shape. Look, I look small, but if I got to run to the end of the street, I'm probably going to pass out in the middle of that street. So I think there's a balance. I have an aunt. She loves food. Like, she eats all the time. She loves cooking. She loves trying new things. But she's also, like, a fitness freak. And I feel like it's balanced her out, because she's thick. But I feel like if she didn't work out so much, she'd probably be, like, huge. Like, bless her.
Right.
So,
Right, like you eat that fried chicken, but it's okay if you take those 5 laps the next morning. You know, just
right. Exactly. You have to find a balance. You need to know, well, one, because I know we don't like, especially men. I know black men hate going to the doctor. You really need to go and find out what's going on inside, not even so much on the outside, because you can look perfectly healthy. We have to get biometric screenings. We have to get physicals and stuff for work. And I have this girl, she's even smaller than me, and her cholesterol is through the roof. Like, she has to change her diet. You could be looking in good shape, but you could die from a heart attack or a stroke. So you need to know your body. You need to get to know your body, and you need to find a median between this fast food, because I love Popeyes, I love fried chicken, but I also want to live to see a good age, you know.
Yeah,
not dying at,
yeah.
Having a heart attack dying at 50 because I was eating that chicken. So
we want to be old. We want to be old. I would like to be old. Don't like to think about being old, but I would rather be old than just watch away.
Just be out
here.
Exactly. 36 and you out.
Yeah. What happened to him?
Right. And now, Clinton, I know you were saying you stopped doing stuff too. Like, you got kind of.
Yeah, man. I've always been lazy, and so I would do things, and then when I got lazy, my parents would be like, "You made a commitment. You need to finish." And that's how I stayed in fairly average shape up until college. And then when I got to college, I decided I'm not doing any of that because I don't want to do any of that. And I guess I'm not, you know, well, medically speaking, I am obese, because there's literally a thin line between not being obese and obese.
It is.
You wouldn't see, like, you wouldn't think of me as a beast. Like, I don't waddle, you know, I don't swim, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm not even really that big, but, you know, just the couple extra pounds I have, I'm comfortable with at this point. And now I really just do enough, like you guys said, to just make sure that I'll be good 40 years down the line. So
well,
now, you know,
it's
I'll run half a mile every other day and then do some push-ups and sit-ups constantly. And then I'll, like, you know, do, like, a little flush month where I just, you know, drink water, don't, you know, have any sodas. And so that's how
right.
I stay lazy but still, you know, be in decent enough health to where, you know, I got a couple decades in me. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
At least four decades left in me.
I feel like that's not good to say, though. Like, I got 4 decades left. I mean, at least.
If I get that, I'll be good. After that.
Exactly. Exactly.
You're basically saying you'll be 60.
I'm Gucci. I hit 65, I'll be Gucci. I'm going to retire, make me in, I can chill. Whatever happens after that, you know, give it to my kids, man. You know.
Wow. Well, we know that Clayton's obese. So it's good to know that we've got a nice little mixture on the show, especially for this topic. Not only do we have Gabe, but we've got Clayton, who's medically obese.
Early onset obesity is what they call it. Early onset.
Early. That sounds like they're predicting you to keep slimming.
that's what it was for. It was like, hey, you got to chill out. That's why they put it on there, just so I can think about it in my
right.
head afterwards.
Right.
Like, dang,
they
I am
know what they were doing.
Let me put
one,
this burger there.
Right.
one burger away. One donut.
Exactly.
That's like saying, what do they say? Marijuana is what, a gateway drug or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Basically.
you're eating that gate. You're on that gateway diet right now. You're on the cusp of like they're being on the cusp of being a crackhead. You're on the cusp of being a an obese guy. Yeah. So I'm bringing him on the air now to help Clayton. I want to bring on the air my boy Gabe Olaiya. What's going on, Gabe?
What's going on, y'all? How y'all doing?
What's up, Gabe?
Nothing much. Who that big Clayton? What's up, man?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I didn't know you were obese. I don't remember seeing you. You ain't look obese the last time I saw you.
Exactly. See, at least he knows. See, y'all don't know how I look on the show. So, Dave is going to let y'all know. I'm not fat. I'm not obese, but I am tough.
We're laughing so hard, Clayton, because we know what you are. Like, the people who have
exactly.
seen you, and I'm gonna post pictures of you on Facebook and everything after the show, so they know, because you really look like you're right there. Like, you're not fat. You're not, but I can see a doctor saying, "Yeah, it's time to start being concerned."
Yeah, they're the ones looking at the charts. The charts is what tells.
Now, Gabe, tell us a little bit more specifically about what you do as far as working out and fitness. Now, I know that you do this competitively. Tell us about that briefly, so people know. Because I know, I've seen the pictures. I've been told about it. But so that they know specifically, let them know what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so first and foremost, I'm a certified fitness professional, and I also compete competitively, as Eric mentioned. I do men's physique competitions, which is similar to bodybuilding, but it's more so cover model type look. So my body has gone through drastic changes. You know, I can easily... Well, let me not say easily. I got to put in the work, but I know how to lose the weight that I need to get off in the time frame that it needs to happen, and I also know how to put on muscle and size back on whenever I need that to happen as well. So I'm getting my feet wet. I've been doing this for about 2.5 years. I've been training for 2.5 years, but this has been 2015 has been my first year actually competing, doing men's physique, and I actually won an overall show. At my second show this year. So That's a little bit about what I do.
That's tight. Now, Gabe, when you say, and listen, me and Gabe are friends. Like, we're real friends. We're tight friends, and that's weird considering my size and Gabe's size. It's like we can't. It's hard to hang out at the pool with Gabe. Okay, because none of the girls are going to see me at the pool. None of the girls are going to see me at the beach. I'm invisible next to Gabe. Now, Gabe, when you say you know how to get the weight off in a specific time frame before these competitions, what is that like? How's that process?
Okay, so what is it? Everything, it all revolves around science. Everything you do, everything is science. So your body, it's just understanding your body and then understanding how your metabolism works. So as far as with me, then, and I heard you all talking about it earlier, as far as you having high metabolisms, I'm the same way. So my metabolism is pretty high. So, I can eat. There's certain things we can eat. And I feel like because we're all young, I'm assuming everybody on this line is, what, less than 27, 26? Less than 26
years
old?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, so we got a few more years before it starts catching up to us. So it goes down to science. Everything is calories in versus calories out. If you want to lose weight, you have to consume less calories than you will actually burn. If you want to gain weight, you have to consume more calories than you will burn. So for example, say I'm on a 1,500 calorie diet. I would have to be in a deficit, a 500 calorie deficit. So my calories that I would have to be consuming in order to lose weight would be 1,000 calories versus the 1,500 calories. Same thing if I wanted to gain weight or muscle. If my daily intake is 1,500 calories, I would have to be in a surplus of like 500 calories. So I would have to be consuming 2,000 calories in order to gain weight. Again, it all revolves around science that way. So it's about
science,
counting.
Science and math. you got to count these calories, and you got to be cognizant because I know a lot of people, including me, barely look at or know how many calories anything is worth or calories that we're consuming or shedding. So that's, I think attention to detail is important when you want to be fit.
Absolutely, and most people, and you're right, most people don't even track how many calories they're eating. So some people, I have a lot of people say, they want to lose weight, they want to gain weight. I ask them, what's your macros? So what your macros is a percentage of your daily intake that is split between the amount of protein that you take in, the amount of fats that you take in, and the amount of carbohydrates. So when I ask that question, most people, they're like, they have no clue. So that's important. And as far as you wanting to lose weight, you got to know how much you should be taking in order to lose weight or gain weight. That's how most people, and that's how you can be successful. But again, people don't have the access or, it's just all about acquiring knowledge and, understanding what needs to be done in order for you to be successful with your weight loss or weight gain, whatever it is that you're trying to accomplish.
Right, because you don't necessarily have to give up the things you like. Like if you love ice cream, you can still eat ice cream and lose weight at the same time.
Absolutely, yep. And what that is, that's actually, that's flexible dieting. And what it is, if you have your macros, if you know the percent that the calories that you should be taking in, you can actually fit some of the foods that you enjoy eating into your macros. But if you overdo it, if you eat more, say if you eat like 3 cups of ice cream, you could probably have a cup, say a cup of ice cream is like 200 calories. That can fit into your macros. Say you 1,500 calories, you can still meet your daily intake by adding, certain foods that you like to eat. Absolutely. Yep.
Right. So, Clayton, is this helping your obesity? Is this helping you at all? Or?
No. I was taking notes. I have a notepad.
I feel like Clayton and I need to change our lifestyles equally because I feel like we're on the opposite side of We're on the two opposite sides of you, Gabe, because where though Clayton
in the middle of physical fitness, you're on
right
because
I don't have muscles. I'm thin, and I don't have muscles.
And I have
and
muscles,
Clayton,
but they're covered in fat. They're covered in like that one little inch of, you know, chub. Like I still
right.
got it. I still see my four pack from like 10th grade. It's just it's not as defined as it was. But it's still there. Like, I can see it every day. I see it every day. I promise you guys.
Right, right. Because, like we can call you obese, but you can kill me in an arm wrestling match, which is not okay. That. Now, Gabe, where do you think the relevance is with fitness and exercising and working out and being healthy culturally? What do you think the cultural discrepancy has to do with fitness? I mean, are we really lazy to the point where it's harder for us to stay in shape, or are we just so athletic and have such good bodies that it comes easy to us? Which one of those stereotypes are more overwhelming?
Okay, let me start by saying this. Genetically, black people, we are blessed. I mean, genetically, we're blessed. And I think most of us kind of use that to the advantage or kind of, use that as an excuse to not really, you know, put in the work needed towards, you know, reaching your goal. But I feel that is only going to go but so far. Even with the athletics, because if you kind of let that go with whatever sport that it is that you're doing, if you let that go, then it's easy for your body to, like, just, you know, change or, you know, go back to looking or not look as great as it is when you're competing or you're training. So I feel that, I mean, that shouldn't really be an excuse as far as not keeping up with your diet or not keeping up with eating, because it's only going to go but so far. Again, even people, young athletes that you see who are in great shape, you know, I'm sure metabolisms are pretty high, but eventually if you kind of let that stuff go and, you know, continue to still throw in junk in your body, it's only going to take you but so far later on in life. And that even brings me to my next point, and the reason why black people, along with Hispanics, we're probably top of the line as far as obesity and hypertension, things of that such.
Okay.
In that
right.
sense.
Right.
And then the first point, what did you say? The first point you said, what did you bring up? You said us being lazy.
Right. Right. Lazy and unhealthy. We have both of those things going for us.
Yep, lazy and
right.
unhealthy. So the unhealthy
yeah,
part,
yeah.
That would
make you big.
The unhealthy part, that's due to our environment as black people, where we live. Usually the areas that we stay in have pretty much, we don't have access to, like, healthy food. There's a McDonald's on every corner. There's a Burger King on every corner. So I think it has partly mainly to do with our environment as far as the unhealthy, you know, making unhealthy choices. And then also financially, too. You know, you get a dollar burger, that'll fill you up all day. Of course, you'll find what's feasible as far as your budget, you know. But,
right.
of course, when I tell people, the less you spend on food, more likely, well, not in all cases, but when you spend $2 on a cheeseburger versus $10 on a cheeseburger, obviously the $2 option is a little bit more, you know, unhealthy process, you know, versus the $10.
That's what's killing me.
That's what's killing. Yeah. The money ain't helping. You should have told the doctor who said that you have early onset obesity. And say, are you going to lend me some money every week to get lunch?
He wasn't.
Because we can reverse this in a second if you give me a loan. No.
He said that
now, Gate. Uh-huh. Gabe, so close us out. We're at the end of the show. So for the last minute, if you can cram it into 60 seconds, what's your biggest nugget of advice? Leave us with something that we can do from here on out. Like, give us some immediate action items. And how can we change this trend?
Okay. Absolutely. Okay, so a piece of advice I will give each and every one of you listening is to, one, plan, okay? There's a saying, you fail to plan to fail. If it's one day, just one day, where you can kind of cut buying, you know, eating out, buying McDonald's and stuff, cut that out and actually use that day, go to the grocery store and get your groceries to plan for at least 3 to 4 meals that you can plan for that day. I'm guaranteeing you will be successful, and you may even lose 2 to 3 pounds in just that next morning, just after cleaning out your diet that same day. So plan, go to your groceries. If it's a Sunday, that works best for you. Wednesday, choose a day that works best for you where you can actually cook and prep your meals. Whole foods, green vegetables, lean protein, chicken, beef, and carbs, complex carbs, sweet potatoes, brown rice. All of that you can do, cook, and you'll be successful, you know, with your journey and what it is that you're trying to accomplish, okay? So plan, all right? That's the best way to be successful, not just in health and fitness, but in everything that you're trying to accomplish. You got to plan.
There we go. That's it. You heard the man. That's real. What he's telling you is key. You fail to plan, you do plan to fail, okay? Next week, transracial adoption. It is a phone blast, okay? It's going to get really racial, and it's going to get really fun, and it's going to be poignant. The Church Evangelism series is coming up, and we're revealing our season finale survey next week. Thank you so much, Gabe. Appreciate it. You helped us a lot. You helped me.
All right, Gabe. You helped me, man. Appreciate it.
I'm for real.
Appreciate it. Glad I could help, guys.
Oh, yeah, always, bro. Thank you so much. Now, the most important thing is love, okay? Don't love food. Love yourself. Love others and love the truth. Most importantly, love. It's not hard to love love. All you have to do is love God, because God is love. And
what do you do?
God did it. Okay.
God did it.
Appreciate y'all.
All right, man. All right, man. Okay, y'all.